Welcome to Wake Up Aligned. I'm glad that you're here. We are going to talk about topics of interest for chiropractors and chiropractic lifestyle. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Another episode of Wake Up Aligned. And we're hopeful that you are finding these motivating, empowering, and inspiring. I know that I am motivated to talk about today's subject, which is, it's actually worth and value. Now, we talk about worth and value, Tom, but by talking about our fees and the fees that we're charging in the office. And I'm continually shocked by how people come to determine their fee schedule. And I'm shocked because they've given no thought to the effect or the impact to that patient and what's that really worth to that particular patient. So today we're going to unpack fees, but as we talk about fees, I want you, the listener, to keep reminding yourself, this is not about prices. This is not about charges. This is about my worth and value, or if that's too big of a bite for you to digest, chiropractic's worth and value to those patients. I want to start the conversation with just an acknowledgement of what you do for your patients. The results that you achieve are pennies on the dollar compared to what else they can find out there to get help. Now, whether that's pain management, pharmacological management, surgeries, that stuff adds up. But there's a cost even beyond accessing what is called healthcare. I don't think it's healthcare, but that's the term. The cost beyond that is the time off of work. I don't know if you know this or not, but when you schedule appointments, especially those appointments with specialists, those appointments don't happen on the weekend. Those appointments are during the week. They are usually during working hours. So people who are having a health struggle and they're going that route, Tom, those people are having to take time off of work. Now, most of us don't have an unlimited amount of time off of work. We have PTO or paid time off. We have days off that are allowable. Most people like to save those up for vacations and family times and other things. But if you have a health crisis and you're not able to manage that to your own satisfaction, you're going to seek out somebody. So you have a cost of what that provider charges, but you also have a cost of what does that mean for you and your work life and your work environment. There's also the cost of what does that do to your quality of life. Every chiropractor who has managed patients, helped patients who have been down these other routes, has that story where this person was bounced around from this provider to that provider. They spun their wheels. They had all this diagnostic imaging and testing and very expensive. Some of these people had surgeries that actually made them worse. Some people went down the pain management route and actually became addicted to the pain management drugs. These people suffer in their quality of life, their engagement with their family, their engagement with their hobbies, their engagement with their interests outside of their work. So when you're thinking about comparing your cost or the cost to that person in your office as a chiropractor, it's not just the dollars to dollars healthcare comparison. It's the impact on that patient's life. Here's what I know about most chiropractors. They are willing to work with people on a schedule so that they can see them before work, after work. They really want to keep that person engaged in their life, keep them working, keep them in their hobbies, keep them engaged with their family. And they do all that and get results while this person continues to work at their job. And it's all done for pennies on the dollar just compared to the medical cost. That's the reality of where you as the chiropractor are. Now, I know your worth and value. Listener, do you know your worth and value? Tom, your dad had a statement that I loved. He would love to set up an arrangement where he sells chiropractic care for what it's worth to the patients, and he receives the money from them, and then he pays the chiropractor what the chiropractor thinks it's worth. become a multimillionaire in very quick fashion with a system like that. So I want to talk about fees. I want to talk about the administration of those fees and the application. It's not just the fee schedule. There is how you structure that and the arrangements that you have for the charges that you require for your services. Anything you want to add so far?
Well, I think you're heading in the direction of something that we talked about recently on one of the more recent episodes when we talked about concepts. And what you're about to dive into is the concept, part of the concept of value, right? So many people have, you asked me on that episode, well, what's a concept? Not everybody knows what a concept is. Well, concept's an understanding. It's an understanding, and in this case, it's a concept of value. And where you just gave the example, Dr. Owen, what the patient conceives the value being, what the doctor conceives the value being. And in today's world, and I know I'll hand it back to you and let you dive in, but in today's world, with this horrific, just horrific practice model that everyone's bought into, it is not the model that built chiropractic for the first, let me think about this for a second, for the first 85 years, no, almost 90 years. The first 90 years, it was based on a wellness model. And now over these last 30, 40 years, it transitioned to the point that people don't even remember what the identity and the value of chiropractic was many years ago when it was based on total health care, wellness care. Now we've gotten into this musculoskeletal insurance game, pain model. And this pain model lends down to what you're headed towards, which is what's chiropractic worth? What's your fees worth? What's the service worth? And it gets down to what's usual and customary. I don't think before 1978, when the sore throat report and that whole plan came about, you guys, listeners, can go do your own research on what that was. But I don't believe the words usual and customary was even part of the vocabulary of the chiropractor for the first 85 years when the legends of this profession built, fought, went to jail for the opportunity to give you the opportunity to carry this torch forward. They didn't have that kind of mentality of what it was worth. It was worth going to jail for. It had a different level of meaning to the chiropractor. I'll hand this back to you in just a second. But you used the term comparative value. Comparative value. I mean, you would do well, the listener and Dr. McMurtry, you'd do well just to go out and get the average cost of what a low back surgery is. I know the last time I looked at it, and that's been 10 years or more, so I'm sure it's gone up, but it was over $600,000. And then for headaches, everybody helps headaches. You got headaches, come on in. We help headaches all the time.
Taint nothing.
Jump up here on the table. We'll get that taken care of for you, right? You got headaches. You got neck pain. You know what? I remember a guy a patient of ours at the Dalton Clinic in Dalton, Georgia, named Johnny Bramblett. And Johnny Bramblett had suffered with cluster headaches. Now, most of y'all know, you guys know, ladies know that there's seven different types of headaches, and we're not going to talk about them today, but he had cluster headaches. That guy, Johnny Bramblett, not only had he spent $400,000. Now, this is a guy that worked at the carpet mills in Dalton, Georgia, and he had sold properties and spent $400,000 on cluster headaches. What's worse is that it wasn't that he spent $400,000 on the headaches. The problem was he was sitting in our office and still had the headaches. That guy was literally walking around told me he was walking around asking someone to shoot him. Please put me out of my misery. And now Johnny Bramlett doesn't have headaches anymore. What's it worth to him? Carpal tunnel surgeries, $20,000 per wrist. And somebody could say, and then I'm going to hand it back, somebody could say, well, insurance covers that. Well, that's a whole different episode, isn't it? That's a whole other story one day, Dr. Shannon, we'll unpack. Well, no wonder the cost of insurance and healthcare is out of control. If they're going to keep charging for services that aren't delivering any type of results. So even if the insurance is covering it, the problem is that model, that sick care model, in my opinion, of pills and surgery, can't compare to what chiropractic does. So Johnny Bramlett doesn't have the headaches anymore. And yet we're stuck with the usual and customary. So, I remember back then, you know, it was $40 an adjustment, right? $40 an adjustment. And he'd spent $400,000. So what's it really worth? Can I tell one quick story and then hand it back to you?
Sure.
Dr. Channon, we recently lost a legend in this profession, a very, very dear, loyal friend of the Owen family, in Dr. Roy Sweat. And I've got a story about Dr. Roy. This is several years back, probably a decade or more. Dr. Owen at the time had a episode out in Kansas City where he developed Bell's palsy symptoms. And I mean, he lost the control of his left side of his body. He wasn't going to any hospital. He said, don't take me to a hospital in Kansas City. Get me on a plane. And we flew him back to Atlanta. And I believe Dr. Roy himself, or maybe one of his associates, picked Dr. Owen up from the Atlanta airport, took him out to the office. And within just 2 days of treatment, Dr. Owen drove himself home to Chattanooga from Atlanta. Never had Bell's palsy symptoms again. Now, on top of that, my mom lived in a chiropractic house her entire life, practically surrounded by chiropractors. My dad, and just a devout Gonstead practitioner, but my mom has suffered with migraines, debilitating migraines, 2 days a week for as long as I could remember. My mom went into a dark room, laid down. You just didn't bother 2 days, and it would take 12 hours for that migraine to run its course. She started going to see Dr. Roy. When we moved to Chattanooga and we were close enough, she started going to see Dr. Roy. My mom doesn't have migraines anymore because of Dr. Roy Sweat's work, right? Now, the story is one day we were honoring Dr. Roy at a conference. And I went to his conference. It wasn't my conference. It was his conference with all his, you know, students and followers. And I wanted to get up and make a presentation. And I got up and did this and told the story and wanted to give him an award and told the story I just shared about my dad's symptoms and my mom's migraines. And I got done with the presentation and I was just about to hand the microphone to him. Because he got his standing ovation, right? You know, glory to Dr. Roy and the Atlas Orthogonal work that he did. And I said, but Dr. Roy, before I let you go, I said, you asked for $50 a visit, and I happily paid. But just thought I'd let you know, Dr. Roy, $10,000 a parent wouldn't have been enough. Handed him the mic and stepped off the stage, and everybody started looking and went, did he just compliment or did he just disc Dr. Roy? There I had Dr. Roy Sweat, the legend of legends, had delivered those kind of results to my family. What was the value to me, yet what was asked? Which is back to your fee schedule.
In every generation of chiropractor, going all the way back to its founding, through the insurance heyday and all the other stuff, there has always been a group of chiropractors who are the best, right? Gonstead was the best. You're talking about Roy Sweat. From the public's perception, they don't know if Roy Sweat is any better than Shannon McMurtry. So how does the public decide?
But I do.
How does the public decide who's the best? Well, is he busy? Is her reputation, you know, above reproach? And the last one, listen to me, listeners, what are they charging? Because everyone knows the best costs more. And to your example of Roy Sweat, Roy Sweat has a follower who uses Atlas Orthogonal Technique. And this guy is in Poughkeepsie, New York. I don't know if you know about Poughkeepsie, but it's not the financial mecca of the world. It's not even in Manhattan. It's up the river. And this doctor starts at $10,000 to $20,000 to get in the door. Same technique. He wasn't even the developer. In fact, in the chiropractic world, Roy is way up here and everybody else is way down here. But this provider decided, I'm going to have a value of what it's worth. Now, do you think, Tom, that this guy, this provider, attracts people from Poughkeepsie only? No. He has people from fly in from all over the world. World-renowned athletes. If you've ever watched ESPN, you've seen his patients. But he's using the same technique as Dr. Roy. So that's where I am with this value. The first thought that the chiropractor has is, if I raise my fees, I'm going to lose patients.
Rejection. Fear of rejection.
Here's the reality. You're losing patients right now on your current fees because they can't afford it. And if you charged even less, you would lose patients who can't afford that. And if you gave it away for free, you would lose patients because now they don't respect and value what you do. So there's no point in the scale where you can set your fees where no one will be lost because they can't afford it. It's just not possible.
Very good point.
So you might as well charge what you are worth and charge what chiropractic is worth to those patients. Because you're already losing them. You just don't know about it yet. I want to talk about how people arrive at their fee schedule. And I want to talk about how bad this approach is. Number one, you heard the postage stamp method. You ever heard that? Never heard that. Okay. Postage stamp method is whatever the price of postage to send a first class letter is, that's what your adjustment should be. That's out there. So when the stamps were costing $25, adjustments were $25. And now a stamp is, I don't know, whatever a stamp is. Now that's what the adjustment should be. I don't know what they're going to do with the forever stamps. You know, you buy stamps now that never expire. So I don't know about that. But yeah, that's the postage stamp method. Another common one is what the person down the street is doing. Well, let me call around and I'll figure out then. I'll pretend I'm a new patient and I'll figure out what everybody else is charging and I'll do that. Hey, listen, if you're going to start a practice in a brand new market, yes, there is a guideline there. You don't want to be the most expensive and you don't want to be the cheapest. You want to be right in the mid range. But if you're an established provider in a community, you have the ability to enhance that value. Oh, well, the professors at chiropractic school told me it should be worth this. Don't you dare listen to them. They do not know what it's worth. They do not have a sense of value. Well, Medicare reimburses this. They must know what it's worth. Well, Blue Cross Blue Shield or Aetna, this is their fee schedule. That must be a good guideline. Bull. That's the one thing that happened in this profession that we still have not recovered from, is we, as a profession, gave over our sense of value, our own autonomy, to someone else who said, no, it's worth this. And they've been driving down that worth and value ever since. Amen. And it's intentional, and it's a plan to take us out. And by honestly, look at the results. They're pretty good with that plan because there's a lot of people not making it right now.
And they have changed the identity, not just the value, Dr. Shannon, I don't know if they knew the psychic work of that, what the psychological makeup, but by doing that, changing that value and setting that value and diminishing it over time, they've also drastically impacted and diminished the identity of the chiropractor, the belief of the chiropractor, and the purpose of the chiropractor. Isn't that amazing how all four of those interconnect like that? Because if you have low self-value, how are you ever going to have a strong identity, right? It's like me having a 70-inch, you know, Sony flat-screen TV, and I have that, and yet I'm going to sell, hey, it's available for you for $20. Come by, I'll load it in your car for you. What are you thinking?
Something's wrong with it.
Something's either wrong with it or it's stolen.
Well, right? Knowing you, it's probably stolen.
Well, you know, do what you got to do. but the point is that doesn't make sense, right? And that's what's happened is over time, our identity and our purpose has diminished because of that value. Now, on another episode, we'll talk about other ways that our identity has been diminished. Look, that's coming from various influences inside the profession we can discuss, but let's take it back to the fee schedule.
So you as the listener, you just have to acknowledge you're going to have fear in this moment when you start thinking about what you're really worth. But we've been down this path many, many times. We have yet for someone to do worse when they get into their own worth and value and really establish it. But I want you to just consider whatever you think your market is, right? I'm practicing south of Nashville, so my market is probably 5-mile radius from my office. Oh, I'm in a market with a lot of other chiropractors, so my radius is, you know, 3 miles from my office. As your worth expands, your footprint, your draw expands. So the doctor up in Poughkeepsie, he isn't just drawing people from that market. He's drawing people from all over the world. Anybody ever been up to Mount Orab, Wisconsin? You never been there, Ryan? Oh, well, let me tell you. There's an international airport right there. I mean, that's, you have to be going to Mount Orab intentionally. You don't just pass through. And that's where Dr. Gonstead's clinic was. He had a hotel built to serve the patients who were coming to see him. He had an airport. He had an RV park for people to spend several days, weeks there for him to get, for them to get care. See, Dr. Gonstead's market wasn't Mount Orab. Yes, he saw the people in Mount Orab, but it was people from all over the world, people who were flying in just to see him. Now, what you, the listener, have to do is you have to look in the mirror and say, I can do that too, because chiropractic is worth it. You're getting the same results that these other providers have gotten, okay? So I want you to start there. I want you to start with just that realization. You're going to be afraid, but as your fees expand, your territory expands, and how the people seek you out expand as well. There is a fee schedule guideline that we have access to, and it isn't a shot in the dark. This is something that we have tested in all different markets with all different providers of all different techniques, and this works. And there's a lot of detail to that. I don't have time in what we have available on this podcast to talk about that fee schedule. But we have a guideline that outlines what a proper fee schedule is. I'll clue you in on just one of those elements, the adjustment. I hate to use the word the average chiropractor because I don't think that we are really average in what we do, but some of us are average in our mentality. But you take the chiropractor who went to school, got their degree, they do their CEUs, they've got their technique, they're not looking to be the exceptional provider, right? They're using their technique, they're getting people well, they're happy. These providers should be at about $60 a visit for the chiropractic adjustment only. That's not bundled with other stuff. That's $60 per visit. Now, if you're a specialty provider, if you have gone to school or received a certification or a diplomate in some advanced technique, your fee should reflect that, just like the guy in Poughkeepsie, New York. His fees reflect his exceptional approach and his exceptional credentials. That's just one element of a fee schedule. Every single element, Tom, that we talk about and teach has that kind of approach to it. It's not what you think it's worth. It's what it's really worth. The second thing that we have to do is we have to have proper administration of those fees. Now, what is administration of the fees? That's how to arrange how your patients pay for the services that they're getting. There are very specific guidelines on how to do that. Sometimes you'll, even to this in this day, you'll run into a box on the wall practitioner. You know what a box on the wall practitioner is? I know you do.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the, for the listeners, that's the provider that says, I am not even going to go down this path of fees and my worth and value. My patients will decide what it's worth, right? So they will put a box on the wall. There's no discussion of fees. They adjust their patients. Patients drop the money in based on what they think it's worth. Now, your dad told a story of a guy years ago who went to his box one day and pulled out a check. And this was in the 60s or 70s, pulled out a check for $15,000. And he was concerned because he thought the check was miswritten. He'd never received a fee like that. And the patient's response was, well, doc, we've already spent that for our son with everybody else. We figured you got results. You were worth at least that much. And that changed that person's mentality forever. Funny thing about a box on the wall provider. Once they understand their worth and once they have a way to administrate that to the patients, actually get payment for what they do for people, not to people, they never go back to a box on the wall. That is done in their world. That is no longer part of their concept. You do have to know how to set up that administration for the patients to pay you for the services that they render or the services you render. Thirdly, we have to know how to apply those fees. This is where the chiropractor, Tom, gets in their own way. What do I mean by application of your fee schedule? Well, are you enrolled in networks, in insurance networks that are killing you from a reimbursement standpoint? Most chiropractors, Tom, have a overhead of what, 50% plus or minus, 60% plus or minus? What do you think? I'm talking about established, not brand new.
I would hope that that's the case. The problem is that's an old standard, but what I have seen a trend over the last 5 to 10 years has that's escalated a lot because there's so many people, so many doctors spending exorbitant amount of money on two places. Okay. So it's not where it should be. It's not in the staff and so on. It's where they're spending more and more on marketing than they've ever done. I mean, there's social media marketing campaign companies, services that are charging $2,500 a month for services that you actually can't spend that much money on a chiropractic office because that's done by geo-targeting. You literally can't spend it, but that's what they're charging. And then also I'm seeing an increase with the introduction of a lot of functional therapies, functional medicine.
Yeah, very expensive equipment, capital investments.
There's a lot of capital expenditure. Yeah. So I would like for it to be at 50%, 60%, but we're seeing more and more where they're, by the time they're getting to us, they're at 75, 80% on a regular basis.
Well, let's talk about the application. If you're in a network then and you know that your overhead is 70% of your monthly gross revenue, then any network that you are in that you're getting cut below that, they're reimbursing 50%, 40%, 30% of your charges. You're actually losing money on every single patient.
You're actually paying the patient to see you.
You're subsidizing that. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. So you've got the schedule itself, what you charge for your fees, for the services, the fees you charge for the services you render. You've got the administration of that, how we set up a relationship with the patient to pay for those services. And then you have the application. Networks, Medicare, how am I handling my Medicare? Am I doing it properly? Or am I doing it where I don't rock the boat, don't get noticed? How much discount work am I doing? And I'm not just talking about the benevolent care. I want to park on that here for just a moment. One of the things I love about our profession is every provider I have ever worked with in almost 20 years has a pathway for people who have no ability to pay to get the care that they need. It's benevolence, it's gratis care, it's whatever. I think that's wonderful. Now, it becomes a problem when it's not handled correctly, when it becomes too much of the office, right? But I love the fact that we have a profession where people with great hearts are willing to give to others without any expectation of compensation back. I think that's not something that we want to tinker with. We want to keep that pathway there. What I'm talking about with discounts and free care is writing off therapies, writing off extremity adjustments, giving away 20 and 30% discounts for these family plans. We just had a provider, a Blue Coat of all people, receive a paid in full check for over $10,000 for the parents and the three children to get care for the year. Now, that was their highest amount ever in their office. And I asked the provider, what does that mean to you? What does that do for you? He didn't say anything about the money. You know what he said? These people are committed to their health and their family's need. That it's validation that what I want to provide, they want to receive. So if we're going to talk about fees and we're going to change your structure of fees, we have to talk about your schedule. We have to talk about how those fees are administered to those patients. What's the arrangement? What's the relationship? And then lastly, what's the application? The discounts, the way that you're getting in your own way and sabotaging your efforts to be profitable. Yes, you have a mission to serve, Tom, but you're in a business. And a business requires profit. If you don't have profit, you don't have a business, and you don't have anybody to render care to. So I know this isn't like the detail work, but I want all the listeners to know there is a system and a way to approach this properly. And again, I want to assure everyone, there's not one person that's gone through this process and is doing worse long-term. Not one person in my history, in your history, which is considerably longer because you're older, or your father's history in all his iterations of helping chiropractors succeed.
That's tens of thousands.
That's tens of thousands of people. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something when you were talking about that overhead, there's just a real quick way for the listener to go, oh, I get what he's talking about. So when you're running at a, say, 65% overhead, all right, and you're not willing to adjust and effect change on your fee schedule, which is where it needs to be, because overhead isn't going anywhere. What's the one thing you can control? Your value. You can control your value, but a lot of times it's hard to really get rid of overhead. So when you're at 65%, just think of it this way. You work for free for the first 20 days of every month. You get to finally hit profit on day 21. Sometimes if you're seeing there's a way to look at it. When you're seeing 1,000 patient visits a month, that means you have to see 650 patient visits before you get to take anything home to put food on the table. All right. So that's where value, fee schedule, and overhead. I'm not saying we can't figure out ways to cut costs. We should. But there's two ways to make money. You either make more gross or you shave the expenditures. You can expand your profit margin that way. But I've met doctors who are doing $30,000 a month and have a $28,000 a month overhead.
Are they happy?
No, they're not happy. You know they're not happy. Mm-hmm. That was a foolish question. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. When they think of it that way of, oh, well, you work 28 days and you get to keep the profit of the last two. So what Dr. McMurtry's talking about here, he's hitting the nail on the head when the only thing that you can really affect change on is identifying the change in value up front, because there is a cost of doing business.
We'll finish it with this. You're in a wonderful profession. You're doing things for people that nobody else can do. That has been what chiropractic care has hung its hat on all these years. No matter how many times people have tried to take us out or take us down, we accomplish things with patients that nobody else can, nobody even understands. And that care is unique and it's special. Those results, even though they're commonplace for you as a provider, they are rare for the healthcare consumer. Things that are special, unique, and rare should be valued. And we are here to help you understand your value.
Learn to stand out and stop trying to fit in.
You got it. If we're going to talk about worth and value, we're going to talk about what you're willing to step out and do. I want to read this poem that your dad shared with me, shared with all of us, but I've never forgotten it. My source says this is from a poet, Jesse Bell Rittenhouse. Of course, you can't trust the internet, but that's what my source says. Poem goes like this. I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is a just employer. He gives what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn, dismayed, that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. Thank you so much for your time. As always, we look forward to talking to you on the next episode. Until then, be blessed and use those talents and abilities for service to other people. And one more thing before we go. If you're a chiropractor who's searching for a better way to build a more sustainable, low-stress practice, then you can contact us at amcfamily.com. You can schedule a discovery session, or you can access any of our free content, webinars, podcasts, and the like.